in your bowl of juice. And ain't nobody more jiggy than us. Stuff so rough it causes head rush like wood.
Welcome back. It's the Deep Cover Podcast coming to you. 2023 NFL preseason week one in the books. Every team has played their week one preseason game. Of course, we're here to talk all things Ravens. So we got a game to reflect back on. We got a joint practice that just took place today with the Washington Commanders to kick around a little bit. So a lot of topics to discuss. As always, though, got to start with the intros. Of course, I'm MC, your humble slash not so humble host, joined by Chris and Carrie as usual. Start with you, Chris, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm excited. You know, a lot of football content to be taken in, a lot of takes to be spewed out. So I'm excited that we're trying to talk about things on in action. Projecting or you know, trying to guess of what will happen.
Yeah, man, we had a whole off season of off the field stuff to talk about, and talk about it we talked about it a little bit, but we didn't get too wrapped up in all of the contract stuff. We kind of knew, or at least felt, nobody knew, we felt that it was all kind of going to work out, and it did. But anyway, we got real on-field stuff to talk about. Carrie, of course, is busy time for you, not just because of all the preseason stuff we're going to be talking about, but fantasy ramping up, drafts happening all over the place. How you been, man?
I'm good, man. Back in that grind mode. Started work on my tiers, put out an article last week, so got some more coming. But, you know, it's always fun, man. I've been digesting a lot of stuff, and I felt like I was a little bit behind, but once I really started to sit down, I realized how many mental notes I kind of took and how much content of myself I absorbed, how many notes I took, and, you know, opinions, thoughts, stuff like that. So I'm a little bit further along than what I felt like once I really started to kind of put pen to paper with these tiers. Started that yesterday. So, you know, hopefully in the next, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks or so, I'll have some tiers out there. But, you know, ready to get this thing going, man. Fantasy, Ravens, let's get it.
Absolutely. Speaking of digesting, let's start with this game we can digest. I'm definitely looking forward to those tiers, though. I'm gonna give those another little quick shout out. It's the Bible for me for fantasy draft. I used them last year, felt like it got me through my draft, really helped me draft a solid team. And then, you know, what I do during the season to screw the team up is totally on me. But using Carrie's tiers to like build my team so I at least have a competitive roster, you know, that was money, like it always is. So I'm looking forward to those. But yeah, digesting this game. Ravens pull out the win, 2019. This was the streak keeps going, right? It was 23. Is that what this is now? Mm-hmm. Preseason games. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I think it was one of the Ravens folks, I don't know if it was Garrett Downing or Ryan Mink, said that Josh Johnson was here for the first one. And then he was here for this one. So it was, I guess, you know, meant to be for this to keep going with Josh back. But I guess we'll start just kind of overall thoughts on the game, kind of high level stuff. And then, of course, we'll drill down into positions and players and like specific stuff, you know, that kind of caught our eye. But I'll start with you, Chris, just, you know, overall thoughts on the game and, you know, kind of your big picture takeaways.
Yeah, it was a little bit underwhelming the first half for football. I know Justice, he had a nice long game, and then, you know, the back shoulder throw from Josh Johnson to Duvernay for the touchdown, that was impressive. But other than that, it was a pretty bad offensive showing for the most part for that first unit. But then once Snoop came in the second half, it was like a jolt. And that offense really got moving, whether it was Tyler using his legs. He was throwing the ball very well, accurate, with some zip on it. And he was going through his progressions, too. It wasn't just one read, and then he was panicking, and then he was out of there. He was actually calm in the pocket, going through his progressions and you know, hitting dudes in, you know, the third, fourth progression, it seemed like. I know there's a big third down play where he hits Sean Ryan, and that definitely wasn't his first read. So I was very impressed with Snoop. Obviously, Keaton Mitchell had a good game as well. The undrafted rookie, your guy Mike Travis Vokolek.
Vokolek. Big V, Big V,
the tight end. You know, he impressed me as well. You know, we all know the three tight ends. You got Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, Charlie Kolar, but you know this guy Vokolek, he's you know come in and he's performed well. You know, when given the opportunity. So, you know, a guy like that, he's someone that you got to keep an eye on, you know, for the practice squad, maybe even sneak on. You never know. And then, obviously, wide receiver one, Tylan Wallace.
Let's not bury the lead.
We saw what he did, you know. But, no, seriously speaking, it's good to see him get an opportunity. And you know, like you both said before we started recording, you know, it's fun to see these dudes actually run these wide receiver type routes and not just, you know, just the same, you know, routes that we saw with Giro, where, you know, they're actually able to use their skills and use, you know, their strengths to be able to translate those onto the field and not just from, oh yeah, we saw them do it in college, but we haven't seen them do it yet in the pros. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of that, where you see the guys being used or utilized in the ways that they were in college. And we saw that with Flowers early on in the game, where we see him being used in space, being used in the slot, being used on the outside. And that's what you want to see. You don't want to see just, oh, go, you're the X receiver, just be on the boundary and that's what you're going to run. Or, oh, just take this end around and that's it. You know, we're seeing the portfolio expand for what a wide receiver is supposed to do in a Ravens offense. So that was fun to see, that back shoulder tight end, touchdown to Tylan. And then the offensive line, you know, the offensive line. I thought Ben Cleveland played a good game. Sala was shaky. I thought Simpson was he was all right, you know. But Ben Cleveland surprised me, you know. For we all know, deep cover is not a Ben Cleveland supporter, you know. Going back a few years now, we all know that. But when somebody performs well, I mean, you take your bias out and you tip your cap to him and say, you know, hey, you played a good game. You know, I don't like you. I don't think you're very good, but hey, you played a great game. A good game. I don't want to say great. You played a good game. So, So let's see if he can build on that. Let's see if these other cats could build on it. John Simpson and Salah. Let's see if they can build on it too, because I think it's for me personally, I think this battle is going to be more interesting than last year's battle was. Because at this time last year, I thought Tyree Phillips was the starter. Yeah, and we saw what happened with that. So I think this one is going to be end up being a better battle from out of these three dudes that we see here.
Yeah, things can change quickly, man. You mentioned that going back to Tyree Phillips and what that battle was looking like back at that time, where it was trending, and then what it turned out. You know, who ended up winning the position. Mm-hmm. Yep. None of us really thought, and it's similar. We've talked about it before, but they kind of parallel their careers with the Ravens, Ben Powers and Ben Cleveland. It's kind of been parallel, you know, in that guys who weren't able to get on the field for whatever the reasons are. You know, there's definitely more stuff than what we just see in games, right? There has to be. More stuff going on, because both guys just really had a difficult time getting on the field. And then when they did get on the field, first handful of times they got on the field, you know, it was like small sample, limited snaps kind of thing, but they seemed okay. Not great, like you said, but always seemed okay. And then they just weren't able to get a larger opportunity until they did. Until he did, Ben Powers, well, to be determined with Ben Cleveland. And then he ended up, you know, having one of the better seasons at guard, you know, last year, and then cashing in right in the free agent market. So are we saying any of that's going to happen for Ben Cleveland? No, it was just kind of an interesting parallel to the beginning of their career and credit where credit is due, man. I told somebody else, I said, maybe it's in one of the chats we're in at Twitter. I said, right now, Ben Cleveland is like one of those motivational posters you see at like somebody's job, whether you think Ben Cleveland is good or you think he's bad, you're right. Either way, right now, we don't really know. So, but coming out of that performance, I don't know, man. It would be hard for me not to see him get an opportunity at left guard now after that performance. If he doesn't, then yeah, there's definitely something else going on. Because I think he played well enough to earn an opportunity to at least get a shot over there. I mean, he didn't even play left guard at all in that preseason.
And wasn't that the case with Ben Powers too last year, this time last year?
I think so. I think he didn't play any. At left guard. So maybe that's kind of their thing. They've got some kind of plan for, hey, we're not ever going to show the guy at that position in the preseason, or but he's going to end up playing there. Who knows?
I wonder if it's a thing where if they throw this adversity, because what we've heard about Ben Powers and Ben Cleveland, like just little murmurs, is that they aren't the best practice guys. They don't have the best work ethic. So I wonder, when the Ravens play this game with them, or let's just say, you know, what we think is a game with them, where, you know, Ben Powers, he's not getting any snaps at left guard this time last year, but he ends up being the starter. Do they do that just to test him to see how he's going to handle not being in the competition, quote unquote, but they know that he's actually in the competition? They just want to see how he handles the perceived notion of him not being in the competition. So I wonder if that's what's happening with Ben Cleveland too, if they're kind of playing those games and testing him to see, are you going to fold up and quit and just be like, all right, screw this, I'm not in the competition, so what the hell do I care? Or are you going to go out there and compete knowing, well, you know, with the perceived notion that you're not in the left guard competition?
I don't think we can rule it out. I mean, we've heard similar, not like that specific circumstance, but that Harbaugh likes to send messages to players. We have heard that from other players in the past. People probably saw the clips maybe a month or two ago, maybe not that far. I mean, it was like a Daniel Brown going around. That probably, he talking about all these stories from when he was a Raven and the things, like the little head games Harbaugh was playing with him. So, I mean, I don't think you can rule it out. I mean, on his face, you think, come on, this is, you know, they pros. They're not playing games like that. But I don't think you can rule it out with this particular coach, because, you know, he's kind of from that mindset of, you know, these are the kinds of things you have to do sometimes with players to motivate them, you know, whether you agree with it or not. I'm not trying to say it's right or wrong. I'm just saying he seems to have that rep a little bit. So I definitely don't think we can rule it out, but it will be interesting after this, you know, going into the next game with the Commanders to see if he gets any look at left guard. Cause, you know, like I said, based on his performance in this game, I would think that he earned that opportunity, but, you know, we'll see. Anyway, Kerry, let me come to you, kind of your, you know, big picture thoughts about the game.
Yeah. And before I get into that, that's an interesting point that Chris makes. And I think there's some validity to that. When you think about it, to me, if they thought that the left guard competition was just Saleh and Simpson, I think you see a vet on his roster by now, if it's just those two guys. So, you know, I think there's something to them trying to use a scare tactic in a sense to try to motivate Cleveland and see what they can get out of him and see if he's, you know, up to answering the bell. I mean, first preseason game, it certainly seems like he's up to, you know, at least being in the competition. You know, we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, that's an interesting point. Overall on the game, I like the spacing on offense, just looking at the route combinations, you know, just the overall spacing, the precision. I mean, they didn't really show a lot, you know, in the preseason game. You know, they didn't do a whole bunch of things that, you know, you'll probably see more towards the regular season or maybe even game two. But just seeing the precision at what that the receivers ran the routes at, you know, getting the proper depth, you know, guys really understanding what they need to do within their route to open it up for somebody else. I thought that was refreshing to see. I've become kind of like a Justice Hill apologist. So, you know, I definitely got to shout him out. You know, I said on Twitter a couple of days ago, talking about Devin Duvernay as a guy that when you look back on the season at the end of this season, I think some of those kind of staple, those kind of statement plays on offense, few of them are going to be, you know, based off of his ability with more space created. And I think you can put Justice Hill, you know, a little bit further down that list as unsung guys that can make plays when their number is called, with the added space. You know, I think he's a guy that's always kind of answered the bell and tried to make plays when his number is called. So it's good to see him, you know, get out there and make a couple plays. Tyler Huntley, I was really happy for him. He looked good. Like Chris said, you know, he was getting to, you know, secondary reads, tertiary reads, just had a crisp, solid command of things. And, you know, it's good to see that from him, because I think he was banged up last year. And I think his struggles just got, you know, blamed away as just regression, or he's not as good as what we thought he was the year before, or whatever that is, by the fan base. And, you know, I don't think that's all the way true. I think he was, you know, dealing with an injury as well. So it was good to see him go out there and play well and show the promise that he showed in previous years. So, you know, that was good to see. Zay Flowers, man, we know how good he is. We know how talented he is. But seeing him in NFL spacing around NFL talent, I think you're just going to see it like a different level, a different gear.
Ask Justin Evans about that gear. He found out.
So, I don't think we even really understand quite how good this guy is. And so when you talk about getting him on the field with the OBJ, with the Bateman, with the Andrews, I think we're going to see some special, like, fireworks type plays from him, man, because I think he is a really just naturally gifted player. And you can tell he puts the work in. You can tell he really cares about the craft, you know, wants to get better every day, has the mentality, the toughness, you know, really anything that you can ask for a young receiver. So super excited to see him. And again, just – look at how impactful he was in that game. And I think he had like one carry for 1 yard in the game, but just look at how impactful he was in that game with some of the things he was able to do. So, you know, this is another guy that was good to see. Keaton Mitchell, just a slippery, elusive dude, man. I don't think I quite understood. Now, I knew he had some speed to him. I saw him as more of a kind of more of a linear guy, but watching him in that game, he has a little bit more wiggle to him than I thought, and he's one of those dudes that just kind of like just subtly like slips off of tackles, and so, you know, that was really, really impressive to see, and you know, ran hard as well. So you know, they got another guy in the stable that, you know, we'll see what happens, whether it's into the roster, practice squad, whatever. You know, he's another talented guy in the pipeline for future years.
Yeah, he definitely has got more. I mean, I watched him a little bit at East Carolina, very, very little bit, because I think I was watching a defense. It might have been a corner against them. So it's from another team. So, you know, sometimes you're just noticing players on the other team too when you're studying one guy. I said, okay, you know, there's definitely something here, but you could see the juice on that touchdown run that got called back. I mean, he cooked two dudes, just absolutely cooked them at the line of scrimmage with a cut that he made. And really that hold was on the backside of the run. So, I mean, it really wasn't even like material, you know, to what was going on front side, but you know, they called it, it was a hold. It is what it is, but you could see his juice on the ground and in the passing game. You know, he, you know, had a little route out of the backfield that he caught, kind of took it over to the sideline, made a guy miss, got a couple extra yards. So you can see there's some juice there. And, you know, you kind of see stylistically some similarities with him and a guy like Justice. And so you see how those that skill set fits in this offense, you know, because like you've mentioned, the space that's created and the way that running backs with that kind of skill set are utilized in this offense is not just like catching little swing passes out of the backfield. I mean, he's lining guys up running wheel routes. You know, they're running routes out of the backfield, but they're not like check down routes. These are like design, you know, concepts to get the ball to the wide receiver. That's like the primary read. So when you got guys who can catch it and who have speed at running back, you can do some dangerous stuff with those guys in this offense. I guess for me, you guys have touched on a lot of the same things that I took away. I guess I'll maybe talk a little bit about some of the defensive guys. And I think, you know, we're going to be firing up the fire zone. I got to stop saying that. I keep saying that. I got to find another word. We're going to be doing a fire zone show this week. So obviously we're going to talk plenty of defense over there. But I think, you know, we were all probably excited to see Ajabo. I wasn't sure he was going to play at all. Even if he played, I felt like he wasn't going to play much. But he, you know, he got a handful of snaps. I think he got at least two series, maybe a little bit more. And so just, you know, getting an opportunity to kind of lay eyes, as Randy Moss would say, we're going to lay eyes on him and see what, you know, a lot of the buzz in training camp has been about. And you can definitely see the juice. You can definitely see the energy. You know, you can also see the learning curve still taking place and like, you know, hey, we're going 110 miles an hour, which you love. But, you know, in certain situations, it's got to be controlled a little bit more to be expected. So not like a negative or anything. It was just exciting to see him, really, because we've been hearing so much and we knew what kind of player he was coming out of Michigan, you know, before he was injured. So it was good to see him get out there and do a little something. Daryl Worley, I had no idea that Daryl Worley was playing safety. That was news to me. I mean, maybe they had talked about it in other practice camp reports, but I hadn't heard that at all. So I was like, oh, he's full-time safety now. All right, cool. That's what he said after the game. Like, hey, he's full-time safety now. Wearing the co-cap number, so that can only mean good things, right? Rocking the 41 can only mean good things. So it was interesting to see him get in that role. Made a couple plays, you know, had that fumble towards the end of the game, called it too. If you saw the little wire clip, told coach, yep, hey, I'm gonna close this one out for you. Did it and got the sack, you know, on Ian Book later. So, called it. Travis Jones, I thought, had a good game up front in limited sample size. I mean, in the first half, you know, Eagles put up like 100 rushing yards in the first half. So, it's a little uncharacteristic, right, for a Ravens defense, especially in a half. But you know, like they got some good backs over there. I mean, DeAndre Swift, you know, got carries early in the game. I don't know if people really thought he was going to play, but he did. He's out there shaking people. But they tightened that up in the second half for sure. Because really outside of Travis Jones, they didn't really have any of their other sort of like frontline interior guys. They didn't play in this game. I mean, Angelo Blackson is a vet, been around, so he's a solid dude. But then everybody else is Rashad Nichols, Kai Caesar, Trey Botts. I mean, you know, it reminded me, it was a little bit different than last preseason. Remember last preseason, they had a couple like backup DTs who were like making a bunch of plays. It was like a real competition.
Crawford
with Mac. Yeah, it was like a real competition in there. So this year it's a little bit different with the backup interior guys. So I think it may have just taken them a half to kind of get their footing, because it's not like a whole bunch of different guys played from the first half to the second half. I mean, Botts and Caesar played a little bit more in the second half, and probably the majority of the second half on the interior. And I think they kind of tightened things up. It was good to see Travis Jones, though. We know the talent he possesses. He flashed, made a couple plays. You know, so him going from year one to year two another thing to kind of get excited about. Tavius Robinson, you know, the rookie, got a couple, you know, snaps out there, and you got to just see. He's just big. He just looks physically like a big dude. I don't think I appreciated how big he is till you see him out there on the field around other NFL players. He does, you know, sometimes that changes, right? From college, you see a guy in college and comes in NFL, you're like, all right, not quite the size that I thought, but he looks every bit as big as he did. And so, again, kind of like a Jabo, you know, some up, some down. Probably was going 100 miles an hour for him. So, you know, that's only going to slow down as time goes. And Kayvon Seymour, Chris, you know, Chris shouted him out a couple, you know, lockdown, you know, strapping people up out there. Kayvon Seymour, you know, we know corner, sort of the second corner spot, who we think is probably going to be Rocky Sin once he's healthy again. But that may not be, you know, 100% in stone. And then outside of that, we really don't know, right? We saw Brandon Stevens, and I know how people feel about Brandon Stevens. You know, he's always around the ball. It's always just like a step late or whatever. He just is kind of the thing, man. He's around. He usually has pretty good coverage, but, you know, he has trouble kind of locating the ball. But then he'll have a play where he does locate it, and it'll be a big play. It'll be like saving a touchdown or something like that. So kind of the highs, kind of the roller coaster with him. You know, all the physical ability is there, but just, you know, just a little bit late and actually making the play sometimes. So that kind of continued. I don't think we saw anything different from him on that in this game. And then a bunch of young guys, you know, a bunch of their undrafted corners played and got opportunities, and it's kind of just a mixed bag, right? Whether it was Swan or Mayfield or Lucien, a little bit of good, a little bit of not so good, to be expected with young guys. So I don't know that they came, well, that anybody maybe comes away from that thinking, okay, this guy really, you know, clearly separated himself in that competition. It's kind of like, all right, everybody did a little good, a little, you know, not so good that they can improve on. And we'll have to see how things go from this game to the next game and practices. I thought Ardarius was solid. Ardarius Washington, when he got his opportunity in there, I think he played a little nickel, might even played a little safety. I'm not sure. It definitely was at nickel for some of it. But I thought he was solid too. You know, it's funny before I guess we can start talking about players and positions now, but you know, it was worlds colliding situation for me, man. Cause the Eagles defense had a whole bunch of dudes over there that I liked, man, coming out of the draft. Of course we know the big names, right? The Jalen Carters, Nolan Smith, but my man Eli Ricks was driving on balls all night long. I got him at pick six. Keely Ringo, Devin Duvernay got him on the touchdown. But, you know, he had a little PBU later on third down, gets Tariq Black. And Sidney Brown flying all over the field, man, like a heat-seeking missile in that Eagles secondary. So I know we're not here to talk about the Eagles, but they just happen to have a bunch of dudes that you know, I think we all, you know, kind of liked or, you know, had some positive opinions on going through the draft process. And they looked apart early on. Their guys looked apart, especially Ricks, man. I was like, they got to double move this dude at some time because he was driving on them speed outs, like, continuously. But anyway, all right, we'll circle back around. So that's kind of, you know, high-level thoughts on the game from us all. Now we can kind of go through position groups and position battles or just individual players, even if it's not a battle. If it's just a guy, you're like, yeah, I you know, want to shout out a couple plays or whatever. So I start with you, Chris. We talked a little bit about the left guard competition, so if you want to go there. But this is kind of an open run. This is open gym right here, anywhere you want to take it.
I want to go to the defensive side of the field and somebody that we haven't named, and that's Delshon Phillips. I was really impressed with his play on Saturday. Leading up to this first game, you know, there were a lot of reports about him getting interceptions on the field, intercepting Lamar. So, you know, when you read those little camp articles, you're like, all right, you know, that's cute. But then when you see it translate to the game against another team, you're like, oh, okay, now you got my attention. And so you see him catching interception, multiple interceptions in practice. Then in the game, you just see him wreaking havoc and taking on offensive linemen, getting, you know, multiple tackles. I think he had like 10 tackles in that game. I think he led the team. So, you know, for a guy like that to come in, you know, labeled as just a special teamer, to be able to show the team that you're able to not only provide some type of leadership and a high level of play on the special team side of the ball, but that just in case of emergency, you can also come in on the defensive side and be able to hold your own and maybe even make an impact if he can keep that level of play up. I think that's going to be huge, because I didn't have him. I had him making the team, but as like a kind of like that Christian Welch, where it's like, all right, you know, they need a special teams guy, you know, who come in here, do the dirty work. But I mean, I see him as more than that right now after that game on Saturday and the reports that we've been seeing all throughout training camp. So he's a guy that I definitely have my eye on, and I'm hoping he can get some more snaps with the first team. Not the first team.
Right.
The first preseason team.
Yeah.
Those so guys. I like the way Malik was running with the ones on Saturday night against the Eagles. So I want to see him kind of get that next little bump in playing time. So I'm excited to see that with Sean.
Okay. And I like this. Let's do it like that. You set the pattern, so we can just do a couple rounds. Like, we'll just pick a player. We'll just do one. And then each one of us will talk about one guy, and then we'll go around, do another one, whatever, until we don't have anybody else we want to talk about. You mentioned Malik Harrison. Malik Harrison, again, kind of like last year, had a pretty solid preseason last year, off to a solid start, got a sack on a little, you know, linebacker dog pressure. So, you know, and Mariota, you know, still a guy who can move around a little bit. So to kind of get that ankle swipe and get him down, you know, that's not necessarily an easy task with a guy who's mobile like Mariota. But Malik, you know, solid dude, has been a solid dude ever since he's been here. You know, had that little doghouse incident that one year, but seems to be, you know, I think kind of got back in the good graces last year with being a core special teamer and also being a guy who'll come into games and, you know, fill a variety of different roles. He's another one of those jack of all trades kind of guy, right? Can do a little bit of everything. So good to see him, you know, kind of continuing to be who we thought he would be. Coming out of Ohio State. All right, Kerry, we'll come to you. A player, or could be a position battle that you want to talk about?
Yeah, young receiver that caught everybody's eye, Sean Ryan. Pretty impressed with him, man. You know, 6'3 dude, 200 pounds. He moves a little bit more smoothly and a little bit more fluidly side to side than I would expect from a guy his size. I think he was like 4'5", 8", and then I think his 3-cone was maybe like right at 7 or something like that. So, you know, there's some tools to work with, and obviously he made a few plays. You know, I would like to see him get some more time throughout the preseason to see if he can kind of stack some performances together. But I think he's an interesting guy to add some size to the room as far as the practice squad goes. You know, I don't think he is necessarily going to push to be on the 53-man roster, you know, straight away. But I think he's shown enough that, you know, maybe he's a guy that they want to keep around on the practice squad and see if there's something to kind of unearth potential-wise there. So, you know, he's definitely somebody that caught my eye. You know, it could be one of those things, another – preseason receiver that we fall in love with and never hear from again after the fact. You know, I might be setting myself up, but, you know, he's definitely a guy that kind of caught my eye a bit.
Yeah, that has happened in the past for sure. Man, I'm trying to think of some of the guys in the past that really I was just like, man, this is it. This is going to be the guy. And then it kind of just disappeared. I'm picturing one guy. I'm blanking on his name, but I can see him.
Oh, man, I got Tim White was one.
Okay, yeah, that's one.
Tim White was one for me.
Who you got?
Hunter. Was it Justin Hunter?
Justin Hunter.
Boy number 14.
Justin Hunter.
Harper. Harper.
Oh, Harper.
That's
Harper.
Right.
Justin Harper. Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Harper. Damn.
Yeah. David Reed was my guy. He was going to be the – Our answer to the little slot receivers like Edelman. I thought that was going to be our Edelman.
We've had some guys, man. I'm still blanking out. None of y'all said the name. I'm still blanking on the guy. It'd probably come back to me at some random time. But yeah, we definitely have had that here. And was it? This is kind of unrelated, but maybe I'm just misremembering because he's getting a lot of buzz this preseason with the Chiefs. Wasn't Justin Ross here last year?
No.
Who am I thinking about? They had somebody in the preseason who. Oh, the other Clemson guy. That's what I'm thinking about from further back. Deion Kane, maybe.
Oh, yeah. They did have Deion.
I was getting my Clemson guys, guys who had had injuries and kind of fell off, and they were trying to make their way back. All right, never mind. Yeah, because I'd imagine Justin Ross would still be here if he was here last year. I'm gonna go back to the O-line, and I'm gonna talk about Sam Mustipher. Not necessarily because I'm like, oh my god, this guy just had a hell of a game, but played almost the whole way at center. I don't think he played 100% in snaps. I think he played like 80, close to 80, something like that. Somebody else kind of took over late, but it's an important position. I mean, Trevor Linderbaum had a good rookie season last year. We all expect him to take yet another step, but we know how it goes on the O-line. Injuries happen. So to have another guy who can come in and play center, of course, Mekari can play center. Mekari can play a bunch of different positions. But, there could be a situation where you want to keep him kind of in the back pocket, right, if something happens to Linderbaum and maybe Mustipher comes in and plays center and you keep Mekari just in case you need him at one of the other positions. Or, God forbid, you have two injuries on the O-line in a game and Mekari maybe comes in at center, but then somebody else goes down and you can slide him out to their spot and Mustipher can come in and play center. So I just think having another guy who can snap and can play center at least, a solid backup level is an important thing to have in your O-line room. So I thought, that was a good sort of showing because he's been around a little bit, started games in Chicago, last couple of years, I believe, or at least last year. So he's not, not an unknown commodity, but I hadn't watched him much. And so this was kind of, one of my first looks. I think once they signed him, I watched a game or two from Chicago and I was like, okay, solid type dude, solid, reserve, kind of rotational guy on your O-line was what I came away with. And I think he just, showed that again in the game on Saturday. So just a name that I kind of noted down to mention. So we're back to you, Chris.
I'm good if you guys have any other ones.
Okay. Yeah, because I was like, at some point, we're just gonna name everybody on the team.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm good with the ones that I wanted to name. I pretty much highlighted the people when I first started speaking about the top guys who just jumped off right off my mind when it came to it. So I'm good with that.
Kerry, you got another guy?
Yeah, I got one more.
Okay.
Got to shout out my man from Monmouth.
Oh, yeah. One right. I'm right.
You see my man with that 6-yard carry.
Hey, but in 4-minute mode, in 4-minute offense, try to close it out.
But no, he's a dude I'm interested. It'll probably be game 3. I would think he'll probably get a chance in the second half of that game to kind of salt the game away, hopefully. And I would like to see him get, 9, 10, 11 carries, just kind of see what he has. Because, we know you can never have enough backs in the pipeline. So if he's another guy that shows well and they can keep him around on the practice squad, you just never know. So, as many quality bats as you can have in the pipeline as possible, that would be for the best for the team.
Shout out Monmouth. You're right. That third game, that probably is where, we'll see a larger sample size for him. I guess for me, hey, I'm going back to O-line again. We kind of talked about it a little bit. We mentioned Salah's name kind of up and down there. I don't know if we talked too much about Falele, but Falele. I can never pronounce it correctly. But, credit to him, man, for the condition that he's in to be able to go that entire game. Cause I think he did play 100% of the snaps. I can double check the snap counts here. I got them up on the screen, but I think he did go the whole way and played some left tackle. I think he played some right too. I think he swept back and forth.
He was switching.
Yeah, in the game. So, you know, continuing to develop, I think. I think you can definitely – obviously you see the strides in conditioning, but I think you can see strides just in sort of the technical parts of his game too, you know, getting out of his stance, being a little bit more patient with his hand usage, you know, the timing being a little bit sharper in terms of his strikes and his punches, and even just the location, you know, like the placement of his hands sometimes, you know, still a work in progress, of course, but I think, you know, definitely you can see improvement from this time last year, you know, to where we just saw him on Saturday. So that'd probably be the only other guy for me. I know we don't normally skew this way, but just throw it out there. If we don't want to do it, we don't have to do it. Do we want to do a round of guys who were kind of like, hey, that wasn't a great showing and that they may need a little bit of a bounce back, or things could be trending in a negative direction for them? Do we want to do that at all, or do we want to stay away from that? Because there's at least one guy, and I hate to do it because he's a hell of a guy.
Oh, I already know who you're talking about.
He's a hell of a guy, personally. Yeah. By all accounts, he seems to be a hell of a dude. Stand-up dude.
Yeah, we can't do that one.
Yeah. Stand-up dude, man. Stand-up dude. And these things happen, right? These things happen. People turn the ball over. I think people kind of will figure it out now. It happens. But I still believe. I do. I still believe. I've had several people tell me what to believe in. What, there's nothing to believe in. I still believe. I think that there's something there. I don't know if it ends up being something there with the Ravens or if it ends up, you know, somewhere else, but I think guys who have that kind of work ethic and have that kind of just, you know, positive attitude as a person, as a human being, things are going to work out for them somewhere, you know, no matter what. So he's still here. I'm hoping, you know, to see, you know, some bounce back in the next game or two, or even the practices, because, you know, I really like to do. Yeah, so we don't have to do that if we want. At some point, maybe after that second game, going into the third game, we probably might, you know, kind of drill down a little bit into, hey,
yeah, we'd be nice this week.
Yeah, well, just because when we get to do the roster prediction show, at some point you got to have that conversation, because it's just, hey, who do you think is going to be here? And who do you think is not going to be here? So at some point you do have to have those conversations. After the first game, it's probably still a little too early to say. Like you mentioned with inside linebacker, for example, Delshon looks like he's kind of clearly created a little separation from Christian Welch and Josh Ross, but still got two more games, so we'll see. All right. Yeah. Good call. Let's hold off on that, even though I did kind of talk about one guy. But I'm wishing the best for him. It's not it. I'm not hating on him, because I do like him. All right, then. Joint practice with the Commanders. Let's switch and hit on that real quick. So moving away from the preseason game, had the joint practices today with the Commanders, and it wasn't quite Alabama boat dock level, but, you know, we had a couple of little fights out there. Now, Ravens fans, y'all probably have seen the clips of Tylan getting into it with Emmanuel Forbes and Devin Duvernay coming over and choke slamming him. Mark Andrews slamming another Commander's defender, and guys kind of coming together out there. So it got chippy for sure, which is to be expected in these joint practices. That seems to always happen. At some point, there's going to be some kind of little dust up or worse, you know, depending on how it goes. But Chris, I know you were watching the live stream. I caught some of it and then had to jump off, but tried to go back and watch some of it and carry. I don't know if you caught it or had a chance to go back or see any of the little clips from it. But I'll start with you, Chris. What did you, you know, think about the joint practices, about the fights, about any of it?
Well, you know, I love the fights. I always love when a team could come out and be feisty and you know, kind of impose their will. But I didn't think the Commies were doing anything egregious. But at the same time, I like to see that attitude for the Ravens. Like, yeah, this did Tylan Wallace probably overreact? Yeah. Do I care? No. Same thing with Mark Andrews. You know, I think they're just playing with that chip on your shoulder. you know, you're playing for a Super Bowl is essentially what you're like, realistic Super Bowl. Every team says we're trying to get to the Super Bowl, but there are a handful of teams that it's actually in the realm of possibility for them.
They believe with the current they think it's roster. Real. Exactly. They think they got a real shot.
And you see this team, I mean, they've been talking about it nonstop. When you watch that episode of Ravens Wired, you know, they Super Bowl, they have their eye on that goal. And to see them have that kind of feistiness and competitiveness, you know, it was very impressive to see. And I thought they practiced very well. Obviously, you know, you had your mistakes. It's practice. Of course, it's going to be mistakes. Not everything's going to be 100%. But I thought Lamar had some really good throws there. Obviously, Mark Andrews, he had his handful of catches that he always has. Odell making a great adjustment on a underthrown pass by Lamar. That was great because we saw guys who haven't always been, other than Mark Andrews, we haven't seen wide receivers who can always make that adjustment when a ball isn't directly on them. And that's what we've been talking about for years, guys who can have that catch radius and be able to bail Lamar out if he has a bad throw, like we see with a Joe Burrow, where he can throw the ball up and a T. Higgins can, you know, erase a bad throw with his catch radius. And we saw that with Odell today. And then, you know, on the other side of that, something that we've spoken about are guys who can separate. And, you know, Kerry hit on it a little earlier with Zay Flowers. We saw Zay get open on a deep shot. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't know whether it was the sun, whatever, but, you know, it clanked off his hands. But it was a perfect throw by Lamar. And the amount of separation that he had, it's refreshing to see those kind of strides where you have guys who can, you know, be able to have that large catch radius, or the guys who can be those separators, or you know, guys who have that knack of yak ability. So I think it was a step in the right direction. And then also, because I've just been talking about offense, but on the defensive side, our boy Owe had 3 sacks today. And, you know, that's what you want to see. You know, people say, all right, you know, do it when it counts. All right, but, you know, this kind of does count, you know, because you don't want to hear always not doing anything, always quiet.
Yeah.
You know, you want to hear, okay, he has 3 sacks. He's causing he's wreaking havoc for, the offensive side of the ball, because that's what players build off of. You know, it's not just, oh, you're going to have a quiet camp, then once the season starts, you're going to blow up. No, you want these young players to stack those days, as they say, and be able to build that confidence. Because we could see by the end of last year, you know, his confidence was pretty much shot. And if he can go into this year, you know, feeling himself, feeling better, not coming back from a shoulder surgery that he had to rehab from, and build off of these solid performances that he's having, I'm hoping we can see the old way that we thought we were going to be able to see after that rookie season. So, you know, I'm very, very excited to see the strides that he made as a player. So yeah, those were the ones that really stuck out to me after watching that practice today.
Yeah. With him, you know, again, it's practice. People say, well, it's just practice. But he's going up against the Commanders' ones, which that's who he'd be going up against in a game. And when he gets those matchups and he wins, then, I mean, look, again, like we've been saying with Ben Cleveland, you got to give credit where credit is due. You can't just keep moving the goalposts and say, well, it's only practice. Well, look, I mean, that's where we are right now. You know, if there was a game, like a regular season game to evaluate, then you can say that. I mean, you get to the end of the 2023 season and you feel like he still has underperformed, and okay, you can certainly, you know, bang him on that when that comes. But it was like the game last year, right, at the end of the season. Well, you know, he's going up against Jonah Williams. He's not that great, right? He whooping Jonah Williams. Well, he's Jonah Williams. He's not that great. Then Williams goes out, and it's like, okay, well, now he's going up against their backup dude. To me, that was one of the better games of his career. And I could see the glimpses of what I thought he could be in the NFL in that game. But again, it was, you know, if you want to look at it from the other side, it was people saying, well, he's going up against this, or it's not that great. I'm like, look, like we always say, if they're bad, then treat them like they're bad, right? If that's what it is, then that's what it is, and go out there and destroy them. So he was playing confidently in that game, had some, you know, some pressures, you know, was chasing, you know, scrambling Joe Burrow all around the field. I'd like to just see a continuation of that. And from everything that we've heard going into camp, you know, the OTAs, mini camp, now training camp in the preseason, that's just continued. So, you know, the arrow continues to be pointing up for Adafe. Kerry, I'll come to you. Any thoughts on the joint practice today and the little dust ups?
Yeah, man, it was the Ravens brought their black Air Forces to the Beltway for this one. They was ready for that. But it was interesting, and it was refreshing in the sense that, to kind of piggyback off what Chris said, the intensity that they brought for this. I heard a bunch of different times about Ron Rivera being excited about this opportunity for his team to come in and be able to practice with, you know, a team that he respects and feels like is, you know, one of the better franchises in the league, obviously a Super Bowl contender. But, you know, from outside looking in, from a lot of different people respect what the Ravens do and, you know, their consistency in a lot of different avenues of how they go about team building and all of that. So it's one of those things where you felt like the Commanders kind of had more to gain from this process than the Ravens had to gain from this process, but they didn't approach it that way. You know, they approached it like, hey, you know, this is what you asked for. This is what you want. You want to, you know, line up with us and, you know, test where you are, then we're going to make you work for it. And that's exactly what they did. They brought that physicality and that intensity and that energy. So for them to be able to get up to do that in this environment, it makes you not worry about them being able to get up in any environment and answer the bell. So that was definitely something that was encouraging for sure. I didn't really get to see a whole lot of it. I did get to see some of the offense. Another thing I'll say, kind of piggybacking on a previous comment, I talked about Zay Flowers. We talked for years, and I used the term gravity all the time, talking about receivers. And, you know, I didn't necessarily think that Zay would be that guy, that gravity guy that, well, I thought he would be that in a sense of his speed, because, you know, he can get over top the defense in a second. But just the way he moves, the respect that his teammates have for him, the guys that have to cover him, you know, Marlo talked about how difficult it is to cover him in practice, those kind of things. I really feel like before too long, and it may even start at week one, you're going to see defensive coordinators before games when they ask about the Ravens, they're going to be talking about him. And then you're going to see it influence their game plans, you know, who they line up against them, you know, whether they have a safety over the top, you know, certain things. Do they try to beat them up at the line of scrimmage when they have an opportunity? You know, do they bracket them? Things like that. So that kind of gravity and that kind of respect, that can do a lot for an offense. And, you know, this isn't the Ravens of old. We're talking about a team that has multiple weapons where if you're having to do that for him, you got an all-world tight end in Mark Andrews. You got Odell Beckham Jr. still a very talented player in this league. You got Rashad Bateman, who – when he's been healthy, has shown well. So then you got J.K., you know, in the backfield, one of the better pure runners, more talented pure runners in the league. So to have a guy you bring it in as your rookie, your first-round pick, and for him to, like, really, you know, just break guys down the way he did in that practice. I mean, that is like we're just scratching the surface of what we're about to see with this offense.
Yeah, I know sometimes, you know, these hype trains can kind of get out of hand, but with Zay, and of course, you always have the caveat that he hasn't played a regular season NFL game yet. So we know that's still to come. And, you know, as exciting as he is, as much potential as he is displaying already, you know, there's going to be ups and downs. But not all, but what we've seen so far, this guy can't be covered one-on-one. Like any one-on-one situations that we see in practices, whether it was with the Ravens DBs or now with the Commanders, nobody can guard him one-on-one. They can't. They can't cover it. They either hold him or he gets open. Those have been the alternatives in these one-on-one situations. So yeah. If that carries over into a game where if you're able to isolate this guy in one-on-one situations and he just cannot be covered one-on-one, oh, my God, the things that this can open up in an offense when you've got somebody like that who has to be respected, who commands respect. Because, like, if we don't, he's going to get open. And as long as the QB has time, he's going to get him the ball. Well, now you've got Odell, who, you know, from the limited stuff that we saw today in the practice, he looks like he's moving well. I mean, we'd heard that all throughout the Ravens practices that he's been in, that he looks like he's moving really well. Showed that again today, like Chris talked about, getting open on that deep ball. You know, if that ball's not a tick underthrown, that's a touchdown because he's behind the guy. So he seems to be moving really well. Just talked about Zay Bateman as he starts to ramp back up. If he can get back to form, you know, before he got hurt last year, we've seen the kind of big plays he can make. It really can be scary. And that's why you hear some of the commentators on, you know, different networks think, you know, who I think don't have a bias. A lot of folks still have a Lamar bias. The ones who don't have a bias, they can see it clearly how this could be another MVP season for him. So just look at all the pieces. If it comes together and he stays healthy, just we've seen what he can do. So just look at what they've added in terms of weaponry for him. And if these guys, you know, really show that they can be who we think they can in terms of Zay, because we haven't seen him yet, and then the other guys and Odell and Bateman can show who they've been. We know who Mark Andrews is. We know what the running game can be. Yeah, I mean, this should be, you know, one of the most dangerous offenses in the league, and it looks by all accounts that that's the direction that it's trending in, and we are still in the very early stages of this season. You know, the very beginnings of this season. So it'll be here quickly, but, you know, there's still offensively going to be, you know, things that they start to reveal that we haven't even seen yet. So
yeah,
it's exciting to me. I mean, I haven't even been able to watch the all 22 angles of the preseason game. I mean, I've watched the broadcast, but sometimes, particularly with the passing game, there's just stuff that you can't see unless you have the high angle, the sideline angle on the A22. So that'd give you a little bit better idea of some of the concepts. Of course, they're not showing everything that they're going to do in the preseason, but you get a little bit better of an idea. So I'm excited about that too, just to be able to see the offense and try to continue to learn more about it. But yeah, man, I can't wait. I really can't wait for the regular season to start, because I think, you know, it could be another really fun ride. Like going into 2019, none of us thought 2019 was going to turn out to be what it was in the regular season. But, you know, we could be on our way for, you know, different, because it might not be so run game dominated, but similar in that they're one of the best teams in the league. That kind of similarity. So I'm looking forward to that.
And Mike, one more thing on Zay before we get off of it. You have to be careful. I forgot what fantasy analyst it was that said this. I was listening maybe within the last few days. You know, this is a season of, you know, everybody's breaking out in camp. Everybody's making splash plays here and there. And you put a couple of those together and they're like, oh, such and such is having a great camp. You know, the breakout is coming. And a lot of the times those breakouts don't happen. So, like, on one hand, I do understand anybody that would, you know, kind of scoff at, you know, what we're saying about Zay Flowers. This one feels a lot different to me because it's not just splash play here, splash play there. It's literally every rep that we've been privy to, he's winning the rep.
Can't be covered.
And not only winning the rep, he's winning it by a decisive margin. It's like nobody's been able to cover him, period. So, you know, that to me, that is a different level of substance to the hype. You know, I know, you know, there's a couple reporters that have said, you know, he looks like the best guy in camp. And, you know, those are things that can be kind of cliche. And once a couple of guys say that, then, you know, it kind of starts to sound more like noise than anything else. But, you know, I think this is really, really something different with this guy. Like, he's just really, really, really difficult to cover one-on-one. And when you have that on an offense, you know, as imaginative as what we think this offense is going to be and the space is going to create, you know, you tend to see special things happen.
Yeah, and look, man, we've been looking for this for so long. So just let us enjoy it. just let us enjoy it, right? Why we got to, like, you know, be raining on people's parades? Just let people enjoy it. We've been looking for this for so long, so long. Can we just have one? Can we have one, please? Just, is there one? Like, it's like on Sunday. Is there one? Can we just have one? And it looks like that we might have that one. Just let us enjoy it, okay? That's all we want to do. Look, there'll be plenty of time for the, oh, I told you so. Oh, y'all are getting all excited. Look, if those things happen like they have in the past, there's plenty of time for that. For right now, though, it's like Christmas. You know, you're sitting there, you're opening your presents. You don't know what's in it yet. Nothing wrong with being excited this time of year. This is the time of year you should be excited, right? When the season's over, that's when you're going to look back and be like, oh, jumping in the air on quarterback's knee. That's when you can be like that. But right now, let's be excited. And I think we've got a lot to be excited about with the Ravens this year on both sides of the ball. We talked about everything offensively, defensively. Once they added Roquan last year, we saw how good they could be, one of the top defenses in the league. Now he's back, has a full offseason here with the team under his belt. Second year in Mike McDonald's defense, everybody, you know, knows a little bit more comfortable. Let's get excited, people. Be excited. You know what I'm saying? Be excited. All of the yeah, buts. Hey, if that's you, you know, do you. I'm not trying to tell nobody not to fan how they want to fan, but I'm excited. And yes, I'm gonna stay excited until there's reason not to be excited anymore. All right. Well, I guess that's it. I guess we've hit on everything that we want to hit on in this episode, right? Anything else y'all want to touch on? Or are we good to get up out of here?
Pretty much. Can't wait till next Monday.
Monday night game.
Prime time. Can't wait.
With the Commies.
I can't wait. Pray for some this it's at their place. So, you know, cross your fingers, everybody.
Yeah. It's some bad vibes there last time they were there. But, you know, burn the candle, light your candles, light your Lamar candles.
I got you.
All your other candles. Yeah, there you go. To get the good energy going. But yeah, it should be exciting. Tomorrow should be interesting after how things kind of went today at the joint practice. You know, they got one more day of joint practices tomorrow. Let's see how things go tomorrow. You know, Ron Rivera and John, they go way back. They go back to their Eagles days. They were on that staff together for like 4 or 5 years, I think. Like, late 90s to like early 2000s. It's interesting you go back, because I knew that, but I had to go back to like refresh my memory. So Harbaugh's special teams coach, obviously. Rivera was the linebackers coach. Leslie Frazier was the DB coach. Jim Johnson was still the defensive coordinator. And then towards the end of that time that they were there together, like 2002, 2003-ish, Sean McDermott came and was like a defensive quality assistant. So, I mean, they were stacked on the defensive coaching side with dudes, and all those dudes have gone on to either be coordinators or head coaches. So, Spagnuolo was there too. I forgot Spagnuolo was there too. So, they had a bunch of dudes on that staff. So, those guys go way back. I know they trust each other in terms of, you know, how they coach their players and the things that they're gonna say to them about, you know, these kinds of things. Like, hey, obviously we want to go out and compete. We want to be physical. We ain't trying to lay down or nothing like that. But it's also the preseason, and you know, we gotta take care of not only our guys, but you know, we're not trying to get their guys hurt either. And you know, I don't think either coach is dirty like that, or any of the players on either side is dirty like that. But it's a good test. Especially that Commander's D line. I saw some of those clips with Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne getting after people. Them boys are legit on the inside of that Commander's line. And Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I think Chase Young wasn't doing any team stuff. He was just doing individual. But, you know, they're legit on the edge, too. So even if those guys don't play in this game, in the actual game on Monday, just getting this work against those guys in practice is really good. For the Ravens O-line up front, because, you know, those are the types of defensive lines you're going to see week in and week out. You know, everybody's going to have a guy, at least one guy, and sometimes multiple guys. So good work to get that in early. But, yeah, we'll go ahead and get out of here. We'll wrap it up. Appreciate y'all, as always. Continue to like, continue to subscribe, continue to tell a friend to tell a friend. You know, you can interact with the show on Twitter, interact with us on Instagram. Anywhere that, you know, fine podcasts are available. So until next time, we'll get up out of here. Y'all take care. Later.
Peace.
And I'm Trina. You heard my name. I'm still the baddest. Ain't a damn thing changed.
Now it's time to get down with your boy CEO. It's me, Money Mark, and the Big Freak Show. Recognize, do cool when I creep through the room with the silver stock. Give me room, cause I'm buck wild man. I get you crunk, get you loose in the stand. Trey Plus and we're running it still. Funk boogie, spin the wheel.
Sweet em. That's gon' make you get up out your seat. We don't play, we take it to the house. M.I.A., take it to the house. This the way we take it to the house. Take it to the house, take it to the house. 305, take it to the house. Oh, we got that vibe. Take it to the house. Slip and slide.